Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 podcast. Today, I'm going to be chatting about a deck. We've got Slothy here as well. Let's do our introduction. Slothy, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. I'm tired and definitely getting right into the deck and stuff. It was a busy week, but it was a good one overall. How about yourself? Did you get up to anything exciting or?
Just work. It's been nice to have a little bit warmer weather, been kind of walking around a little bit more. It's quite nice.
It is nice to actually be back outside doing stuff like that. For everyone who doesn't live in Canada where it's cold all the time, for us when it's like -5, we're all happy.
Yeah, that's shorts weather.
Yeah, exactly. So, the nice weather's been good too for anyone who knows. I drive a lot for work, so not having to drive on ice roads is also a really good time. Mm-hmm. So today we are going to talk about a mono blue deck. It's basically just a very, very aggro mono blue deck. It's not much in the instant sorcery kind of category. We're talking about Donal, Herald of Wings. And I just loved this commander when I saw it. It was from the Crimson Vow commander decks. Like, it was just a legendary creature that was included in, was it Millicent?
Yes.
Yeah, it's from the Millicent deck. It's, first off, I just thought the artwork was beautiful. I think it's just such a cool card. It's, for anyone who hasn't seen Donal before, it's 2 and then 2 blue for a 3/3 human wizard. Whenever you cast a non-legendary creature spell with flying, you may copy it, except the copy is a 1/1 spirit in addition to its other types. Do this only once each turn. So, like, just the ability to, for anyone who knows, like, the flying is really, really hard to get around. A lot of decks' weaknesses are flying. And this, you're just doubling up on your evasion to be able to really slap people, right? So Donal is going to be a target because of how strong he is. The fact that he triggers only once per turn does kind of keep it a little bit in check. But with how many good creatures there are for flying, it's kind of hard to not really go off with this. I just love the flavor text when I saw it initially. It's the, he sees a flicker of Avacyn's grace in every wing beat. I loved it. With anyone who knows the lore, Avacyn being gone, they're all kind of looking somewhere else for their basically religion on Innistrad. And yeah, there's just so many people who are missing Avacyn and doing things like this. And yeah, I love Donal as a card. It's just a super interesting, super fun card. I have like the most simple land base I think I've ever seen in this. It's just 32 islands and a reliquary tower. There's nothing crazy in this one. We'll do our instants and sorceries first, because as a blue deck, I'm really not doing people justice with this. Do you want to start us off with the instants?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first instant that we've got is Faded Infatuation. 3 blue for an instant, put a token on the battlefield that's a copy of target creature you control, and if it's your turn, scry 2.
Yeah, nice and easy. We're making low-cost tokens, and then we have Scatter to the Winds, and the reason I have Scatter to the Winds is you should, at least, if you're playing blue, have at least one counterspell. And, you know, Scatter to the Winds, it's on the flying theme, that's why I put it in. There's really nothing else I thought, no other thought process, there's better counterspells, I could put in a Mana Drain, a counterspell, anything like that, but it's on theme, and on theme matters to me.
Absolutely.
So we'll go to, I'll let you bang out our sorceries, and then we'll start with the other parts of the actual deck.
Absolutely. So sorcery in this deck is Tempt with Reflections, 3 and a blue for a sorcery. It's got Tempting Offer. Choose target creature you control, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that creature. Each opponent may put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that creature. And for each opponent who does, put a token on the battlefield that's a copy of that creature.
Yeah, not many people are going to let me do this, sadly, but...
No.
But...
See.
Oh, go ahead.
See, at least it's kind of like giving them that option, though. If you've got something like... Consecrated Sphinx.
That's usually what I do cast that, and Consecrated Sphinx is in the list. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because I like to draw.
Yeah, absolutely. An additional card draw is going to be tempting to everybody.
Yeah, that's very true. We have, like I said, this deck is pretty much all one thing, and it's we'll get into that one thing. The enchantment section is also really, really small. We only have 4 enchantments in this deck at a total of $6.70. A real wallet breaker there. We have Coastal Piracy. It's 2 double blue for whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to an opponent, you may draw a card. I like that it's a you may, and with flying, again, you're able to really beat face with these cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, next up is Favorable Winds. One and a blue for an enchantment. Creatures with flying you control get +1/+1.
Yeah, really, really easy. I was thinking about putting the archetype of imagination in here, and it just seems like kind of a win more card. Because, yeah, like, we'll get into our creature section shortly here, and it's a very big one. But I just thought, like, the same with Gravitational Well, any of those things, I thought it was just kind of a win too hard card. Like, I like Favorable Winds. It's low cost. It's going to buff the majority of our deck. The deck functions even without the commander. The commander just makes it function more, right? So Favorable Winds is, like, such a good card to get out really early. We've got Thopter Spy Network, another card that's kind of similar. It's 2 and double blue. Beginning of your upkeep, if you control an artifact, you create a 1/1 colorless Thopter with flying. Whenever one or more artifacts you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. It's just making us more flyers and more chump blockers, so we don't have to get rid of the good ones. That is one thing that you do have to keep in mind with Donald, is he makes all of your flying copies 1/1. So if you're playing like some like big, huge creatures, they are only going to be 1/1s for blocking. A lot of the time you're going to want them for the effect or just for extra aggro beatdown. I like to swing in with my fake clone ones instead of my real ones so that I don't risk losing them.
Yeah.
But I also like to sit and develop too big of a board state, so not everyone plays like that. And then we've got we have Wizard Class as the last one, and it's basically only going to be for the first one. Like, you just want it for the no max hand size at 1 blue.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. You can level it up in an emergency. When it becomes level 2, you can draw 2 cards. And then if you have just a ton of mana late game for some reason, you could level it up to level 3, and that's whenever you draw a card, put a 1/1 counter on target creature you control. Again, you're hitting with flyers, so you're going to be able to... Not many decks run like answers to flyers.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, a lot of decks like have like a really, really big weakness to it. That's why like back in the day, like for standard play, like Cobblade was such a thing, because no one blocks flyers. Flyers just evade so much of the board, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, we've got pretty light segments for most of them. Our instants, enchantments, sorceries are pretty light. We get a little bigger in the artifact section at 9 artifacts, of course. Do you want to start us off with them?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one is Aether Vial. Fact for 1. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may put a charge counter on Aether Vial, and then you may tap it to... you may put a creature card with converted mana cost equal to the number of charge counters on Aether Vial from your hand into play.
Yeah, we've got some big flyers in the deck, so it's nice to be able to just get things out. But again, we're in mono blue, right? We ramp how we ramp.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We do have Crystal Shard as well, which is, I find, a really, really fun card. It's 3 mana for an artifact, so 3 in a tap or 1 blue in a tap. Return target creature to its owner's hand unless its controller pays 1. A lot of the time, we're going to be doing this on ourselves to double up on something we want another copy of from Donald, right? It gives us a way to bring our hand back without breaking the budget of needing, like, a Cloudstone Curio in the deck or something, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, definitely.
But it's also a good offensive threat. You're going to keep that up until... Donald's only going to trigger once each turn, right? So you're going to keep it up until it's needed. And if people tap out and have a big creature, it is really nice to bounce it to their hand if they can't pay 1, right? It kind of is a little bit of a stacks piece in the threat that if you tap out, I might put your stuff back in your hand.
Yeah.
So, like, I really like Crystal Shard. I found a lot of really, really good value out of it. It's an old card. It's a cheap card. And just the ability to pay 3 colorless or 1 blue for it, I think, is a fun way to deal with it. I'll let you go with the next one, because basically the same.
Yeah, the next one is Erratic Portal, an artifact for 4. You can tap 1 and then tap Erratic Portal to return to a creature to its owner's hand unless its controller pays 1.
Yeah, and, so...
Yeah, just kind of insert what he said about Crystal Shard.
Yeah, again, we can use it for us to get our things back, or really, like I said, just being able to bounce 2 people's field, like bounce 2 creatures... This is going to be like a Hell on Earth against a Voltron kind of deck, right? Like you can never tap out against it, because the threat of just losing it immediately is...
Yeah, I will say I'm not playing my Galea, Ozgear, or Wyleth decks against this.
This is actually really good. Light Paws is super popular right now. I I literally just built two light pause decks. Not one, but two light pause decks yesterday. And this is the kind of card that gets around it, because light pause has just such inherent built-in protection. Mm-hmm. Bouncing light pause and losing all the auras for one mana is pretty silly. And again, you can double that up to pay another one. It really does a lot of work in the deck, right? They're pretty low cost for what they do, and they help us out their offense and defense for us, right? They're going to be really, really good ones. We have Kefnet's Monument because, again, blue has to ramp how blue can ramp, and we're very creature heavy. Kefnet's Monument is a legendary artifact for 3. Blue creature spells are 1 less. And whenever you cast a creature spell, target creature an opponent controls doesn't untap. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. So you can just make things skip and untap if something is like beaten on you. It doesn't tap it sadly when you cast it. That would make it very offensive in this deck. But just the cost reduction alone for us is pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll let you take this next one here.
Yeah. The next one is Portal of Sanctuary. 2 and a blue for an artifact. 1 and tap portal. To return target creature you control and each aura attached to it to their owner's hand, activate this ability only once during your turn.
Yeah, so sadly, it's not as aggressive as we like, but again, it lets us leave the other ones up. It's only for things we control, so this is only to bounce our things again.
Yeah.
We don't have to break the bank with Cloudstone Curio. We've got 25 cents.
Yeah, absolutely.
I say we don't have to break the bank, and then there's some expensive cards in here. But yeah, so we've got Sapphire Medallion as the next one. Just 2 colorless. Your blue spells are 1 less. Again, it's something that's going to help with pretty much every card in the deck. Like, even some of our artifacts are blue, like the Portal of Sanctuary, right? So it's always going to help out.
Yeah.
And then, we've just got like some really, really easy, like basic ramp. We've got our Sky Diamond at 2 mana. Enters tap, taps for a blue, obviously a Soul Ring. And then we have a Thought Vessel, because again, no max hand size kind of does matter, if you couldn't tell by Wizard Class and the Reliquary Tower. We're going to draw a lot in the deck.
Yeah.
And just you have no max hand size. Tap to add a colorless. So yeah, that's basically like our list of everything except our monstrosity of creatures. So now we're just going to get into what the deck is supposed to be doing. So the first one we have on our list here is Alrund, God of the Cosmos. You're never going to really cast Alrund in the deck. Maybe you will. Maybe you play differently than I do. It's Alrund gets 1/1 for each card in your hand and each foretold card you want in exile. Beginning of your end step, choose a card type, then reveal the top 2 cards of your library. Put all cards of the chosen type in your hand and the rest on the bottom. For me, if I was going to play this side, which again, I will pretty much never, I'm going to do it with creatures because I want more creatures in my hand to cast and possibly double up. But we're going to be playing the backside. The backside is legendary. You're not going to be able to doggle it up with Donald. That being said, it's Hakko, Whispering Raven, 1 and a blue for a 2/3 flyer. When it deals combat damage to a player, return it to his owner's hand, and then scry 2. That is going to help us really early game as well. It really rewards us for being aggressive against our opponents as well. We want to hit them. We want to be able to kind of fix the top of our deck, see if we've got big things coming up early in the game, we can get them to the bottom and try hit some of our lower cost creatures. Again, a 2/3 flyer at 2 mana that lets us scry is awesome.
Yeah.
I want to take this next one too. Zach really turned me onto this card, and I've been putting it in decks a lot lately because it's just fun. So it's a Temsis All-Seeing. It's 3 triple blue for a 4/5 flying creature legendary Sphinx. It has 2 and a blue, draw 2 cards, then discard a card. When it deals combat damage to an opponent, you can reveal your hand. If cards with at least 6 different CMCs are revealed this way, that player loses the game. I actually really, really like the utility that comes with that. We're going to be drawing a lot in the deck. It just seems like a solid spot to put it, and the deck's kind of got a little bit of a Sphinx theme. There's lots of great blue flyers in Sphinxes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like a nice finisher for someone who's just going to be like, we've all played with a life gain player who's just out of control. We're not going to damage them down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Donald is hardly going to commander damage this game out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really like this one. Zach, like I said, he put it in as an alternate win con, and I've just been including it. I love playing draw decks, and this is like kind of a de facto draw deck as well. Like, we're going to be drawing a lot in it. And yeah, it's just a really fun card. I like the loot ability as well. I'm going to probably be throwing out my excess lands.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you take the next one here.
Alrighty. The next one is Corellian Drake, one in a blue for a 1/1 creature Drake with flying and protection from red. And you can sacrifice Corellian Drake to counter target spell that targets you.
Yeah, that's
pretty good once you double that up.
Yeah, having two 1/1s that don't really matter for throwing out to get rid of things. I play against a lot of stacksy kind of things right now, and a lot of Izzet decks really lately, and there's a lot of damage spells that I would love to just throw this away.
Yeah.
The next one is one you don't really see too much in Commander, any of these Chancellors, but I like all of them. This one's Chancellor of the Spires. It's 4 triple blue for a 5/7 Sphinx, so it will double up if we cast it. It's not legendary. You can reveal it from your opening hand. If you do at the beginning of the first upkeep, each opponent puts the top 7 cards of their library into the graveyard. That is just a really, really strong effect if it's in an opening hand. Like, it really can hurt players a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then, again, it's a 5/7 flyer, so it's a huge blocker. We'll get a 1/1 version of it as well, but it also, when it enters the battlefield, you can cast target instant or sorcery from an opponent's graveyard without paying its mana cost. And that effect being doubled up is phenomenal for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We're extremely light on the instants and sorceries. We're not really doing much. But especially like a late game, just being able to, if you have Donald out, hit 2 instants and sorceries. Like if I'm playing against someone like Zach, for instance, right? Zach's probably got a lot of reanimate things. I'm able to bring something bigger back. Like you're going to get a lot of cool things with this off, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, at 7 mana, there's going to be instants and sorceries in the graveyard at the end game. I'll let you take this next one. It's very, very fun with the double.
Yeah, definitely. The next one is Cloud of Fairies. 1 in a blue for a 1/1 fairy with flying. When Cloud of Fairies comes into play, untap up to 2 lands, and it's got cycling 2.
Yeah.
Untapping 4 lands for 2 mana is not too bad.
Yeah, well, and it's actually really, really fun. If you have on board, if you have your Crystal Shards and your Erratic Portal, you untap 4 lands, pay 1, so then you pay 2 more to do it, you untap another 4 lands, pay 1, untap, yeah, it really can stack up the good mana.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really, really like it. Like, you're gonna net some extra mana each time. I love Cloud of Fairies. It's such a good card. I just put it in another Gavi deck as well. Yeah, it functions so, so well. The next one we have is Cloud Kinseer. It's a 2/1 flyer at 2 and a blue. It's an elemental wizard flyer. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. So again, you get a 2/1 body, a 1/1 body, both with flying, and a double draw at 3 mana is just a phenomenal output in this deck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. I'll let you take the next one because you already mentioned it.
Yeah, the next one is Consecrated Sphinx. 4 double blue for a 4/6 creature Sphinx with flying. Whenever an opponent draws a card, you may draw 2 cards.
If you are able to double this up with it and have a 1/1 Consecrated Sphinx that's just doubling it up, you're able to draw 4 every time someone draws 1 card. You just are so ahead of everyone.
Yeah. And then if you pair that with Tempt with Reflections, oh my.
Well, so what I like to do with the Tempt Reflections, now that we've got to it, is I like to give them the 1/1 option. I almost always give them the option that is the weak one. You can have the 1/1 version of it. Still going to be good, but then I still have my big one. A lot of these Sphinxes as well, too. A 4/6 blocker is pretty strong. You're going to be able to chump block a lot of smaller things.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. I like all of these Sphinxes, to be honest. It's a really fun place to put them. The next one we have is Conundrum Sphinx. It's 2 double blue for a 4/4 flyer. Again, great stats. When it attacks, each player chooses a card name. Then each player reveals the top card of their library. If the card a player revealed has the same name as they chose, they put it into their hand. If it doesn't, that player puts it on the bottom of their library. So I think it's really, really fun to just try and guess what's on top of my deck.
Yeah.
I generally always call Island because I'm bound to hit it sooner or later in this deck.
Yeah.
But it's really fun to see things that are on top of people's decks, and I like the guessing game. There's a lot of guessing games in this.
Yeah.
You can take the next one here.
The next one is Dazzling Sphinx. 3 double blue for a 4/5 Sphinx with flying. And whenever Dazzling Sphinx deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile an instant or sorcery card. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then that player puts the exiled cards that weren't cast this way on the bottom of their library in a random order.
Yeah, this is a great card for us.
Yeah, yeah.
There's looking at the deck again. I just build and then go from there and stuff. I probably should have included a Rogue's Passage just to get some of my creatures through, but they've got flying. At a four person pod, you're gonna find someone who doesn't have flying and just beat face on them. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, if there's four flying decks in the game, something's weird.
Yeah.
Right. So again, like, that's a great card to be able to double up on. All of these, I think, there's no cards in here that I don't think are fun to have. The next one I think is really fun to play around with. It's the Djinn of Infinite Deceits. I don't know. Either way. Yeah. Four double blue for a 2/7. So again, an immense body. It's non-legendary, so you'll get two of them. Exchange control of two target non-legendary creatures. You can't activate it during combat. This is super fun to give people's creatures away. Like, you've got a Llanowar, I'll give the Llanowar over to your, like if you just have something that's a good chump blocker or a good goblin. Like, I love trading it off, giving away people's Faberos, stuff like that. I think it's really, really fun. And I can give away my worst versions. Like, we've got a Cloudkin Seer, right? That's our 2/1 flying that enters, draws a card. Me giving that away and taking someone's Faberow Elder is an awesome trade for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So it's really, really fun to use. The ability to trade two things off is phenomenal for us. I love playing this card. It's super fun. It's got fun flavor text on it. The Winds of Change have a mind of their own. Hilarious. Yeah. It can hit legendary, which is whatever. But
yeah,
you gonna take this one?
Yeah, the next one is Djinn of Wishes. 3 double blue for 4/4. Djinn with flying, and it enters the battlefield with 3 wish counters on it. Now you can pay 2 double blue to remove a wish counter from Djinn of Wishes and reveal the top card of your library. You may play that card without paying its mana cost, and if you don't, exile it.
Yeah, this one's gonna be solid for all of us. It doesn't. It doesn't follow timing restrictions specifically, which is kind of fun. Like, the card lets you play it right there.
Yeah.
Which Donald only triggers once, so you are able to use this ability on other people's turns and then get it off so that you can throughout the game, like later on, if you have 8 mana after casting this, I can cast something on your turn, then on Zach's turn, get my double up as well, because again, Donald only triggers once.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it a lot. There's pretty much nothing in our deck that is going to... Like, we're not going to rip on the top. Like, if we're playing a deck where we're a lot of, like, instant sorceries, combats, counter spells, like, we have one card that we can rip on here, and that's Scatter the Winds.
Yeah, and
yeah,
one in 100 chance of getting it.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not losing out too badly. No. We have a Dream Shackle Geist. It's 1 double blue, a 3/1 flyer. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose one. Tap target creature or target creature doesn't untap during its controller's next unstep. Next untap. This is great for tapping down anyone who may have flyers, or just for tapping down annoying things. Like, because you'll, generally speaking, I'm assuming that I have 2 of all of these. I know that that's not a perfect world, but every time I'm talking about a card, I'm talking as if I have gotten 2 of them. Sure, removal exists. Sure, I have no protection for Donald, but my wrath is enough protection. If you kill Donald repeatedly, I'm just going to swing flyers at you until you die. So. That's my threat assessment in this deck.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Yeah, let me double up my silly things and just leave me alone. But yeah, like I said, it's great to tap down things that are problematic, and then you can, with your copy of it, leave them tapped as well. I almost wish that this deck had access to white. If Donald had been a white-blue commander, I think it would just be silly how good it was. But again, with how many angels are in white, there's no chance that they can do a card like that where I'm able to get like 1/1 Baneslayer angels and stuff like that. Like, it'll never happen.
No, that would just make the Donald just too.
Yeah, because powerful. Well, yeah, exactly. Because this deck would then be a mono white. Like, hey, check out my angel doublers.
Yeah,
yeah, it would have been pretty fun, but no, the fact that it's mono blue, it gives us the ability to mono blue is generally not really a token kind of deck, right? Like even a Talrand deck, you're playing instants and sorceries to get the tokens. It's really an instant sorceries deck with the side effect of a token, right? So just being able to get all these extra flyers is super fun. It's a neat mechanic, and aggro blue is not really a strategy, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have Dungeon Geists as well. It's 2 double blue for a 3/3 flying spirit. When it enters the battlefield, tap target creature an opponent controls. It doesn't untap during its controller's untap step for as long as you control Dungeon Geists. Very annoying if you get two of them.
Yeah.
Like leaving two things permatapped is very annoying. So while I was brewing this deck, I just started also pulling out cards for Timon and Rota as well. Mm-hmm. I loved all of the cards that were in that Millicent deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I thought all of the commander options for it were great. I think they're really fun partners. I love the partner with mechanic. I've always liked it.
Yeah, partner with is very fun.
Yeah, it just like it lets you play in a more targeted way. I like it a lot. I like partner in general. I'm hoping that with the Commander Legends 2 stuff, we see more partner stuff. I can't see them not putting it in.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that they would have some of the legendary partners from the whole lore of Baldur's Gate and whatnot.
Yeah, but lately I've just been building a lot of stuff. Like I built a long, long time ago, I built a Sylvia Korvath deck for someone else. And that deck just always played really, really well. So I finally built myself one. And it was just so fun to play. I love Boros in general. I think Sylvia and Korvath really, really do a lot of cool stuff together. And then with the inclusion of Maskwood Nexus from Kaldheim, that really, really buffs that deck. For anyone who doesn't know, this is a quick aside, sorry. The Sylvia and Korvath is Sylvia buffs all your all your dragons, giving them double strike. Korvath gives all the knights flying and haste.
Yeah.
And yeah, like just having all these, all of your knights become dragons with a Maskwood Nexus. Oh, it just, they beat face so hard. Yeah. Like knight decks really, really go off. But like I said, I'm on a bit of a tangent. When I was building this deck, there's so many of these flyers that synergize with the tap, like the Dream Shackle Geist, the Dungeon Geist, that I just was like, well, I'm going to build this deck as well on the side. So it was also a really, really fun one. I'll probably do a deck tech on that one as well sometime because I'm just calling it Annoying Tribal. The whole point is just tapping people's creatures. Yeah, I love it. Back to our list. Back to our list here. The next one on our list is a one cost. It's Fairy Miscreant. One for a 1/1 Fairy Rogue flying. When it enters, if you control another creature named Fairy Miscreant, draw a card.
Yeah.
I really like my one. It one cost draw, not something that really can see play in Commander, so it's fun to see it actually do things. And again, 2 1/1s and a draw for one mana is great value for your lands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the next one is a great aside. If you want this card, you should probably go to abyssproxyshop.com and get it, unless you have an old collection or were able to buy it in the last little while. This card is just skyrocketed in price. It's a reserve list card. Please take it away. Yeah, again, don't go out and buy this card for this deck. This deck is not good enough to spend $300 on.
Yeah, this card is half the cost of the deck right there.
Yeah. You can go ahead and take this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So this card is Gilded Drake. 1 and a blue for a 3/3 Drake. Great stats right there. With flying, and when it comes into play, exchange control of Gilded Drake for a target creature one of your opponent's controls, or sacrifice Gilded Drake.
Yeah.
So being able to take two of your opponent's problem creatures.
Usually the big downside of a two is just that it's a 3/3 flyer that they're going to swing at you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you're, as soon as you take away their big beater.
Or their commander. Yeah.
Yeah, or their commander.
I made it's Leer or Liar or whatever one it is, the Disciple of the Drowned. I made that deck yesterday too. And it has the flashback and you can't counter things in that deck. So I like put a bunch of interesting remove spells from the stack kind of effects.
Yeah.
And one of the guys at the table was playing Niv-Mizzet Reborn and I made that thing cost like 13 mana. And they were like very friendly about it, but I would have lost my mind if someone was doing that to me. Like, so with the Gilded Drake, like taking people's commanders is a great way to make them angry.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of us, like, we build decks because we like the commander so much, right? Not the casual player. I would say 9.9 out of 10 players aren't building just like color piles that are like, oh yeah, like this is great because it's a 5-color deck. A lot of them are like, I like the artwork of this, I like the effect of this, this fits my playstyle. The reason we play Commander is because we value using that Commander and having access to it so much.
Yeah.
So being able to take people's Commanders, again, two people's Commanders at two mana is hilarious to me. And you're in flying, so you're going to a lot of the time be able to block this 3-3 without a problem.
Yeah, this 3-3 is, even if it swings at you, you're not going to really bat an eye about it.
Yeah. The next one we've got here is we put some of our counter spells into the creature section instead of an instant. Now we've got Glenalendra Archmage. It's 3 and a blue for a fairy wizard, 2/2 flyer. It has pay 1 blue, sack it, counter target non-creature spell with persist. So we're essentially going to get 3 counter spells on board at one cast, because obviously our token's not coming back from the grave. But this is Glenalendra just does a lot of work on the field, right? Like just the... It's hard to counter an ability, like, short of holding a stifle or a summary dismissal, something like that. You're not going to get around this, right? So it's a little better than having a counter spell in hand, especially once it's on board.
Yeah, and then having it on board as well could be a little bit deterrent. Like, hey, don't cast that... I wouldn't cast that Blasphemous Act if I were you.
Right. We've got a few things in our deck that have flash, and we hold them up to... use for this card. It's Glenalendra Pranksters. It's 3 and a blue for a 1/3 fairy wizard. Whenever you play a spell during an opponent's turn, you may return target creature you control to its owner's hand. Which is, again, a great way to get our things back. We want to bounce stuff like our like our annoying things we can double up on, or even our draw cards. So being able to do that is just solid. We don't have a ton of use for it because we're not instants and sorcery heavy, but again, a 1/3 flyer that does let us get our cards back in a certain situation isn't bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to take this one, too. I put this in every deck that I can. I think this is a phenomenal card. I love the Amonkhet lore, all of it. I think Kefnet is awesome. It's Kefnet the Mindful. It's 2 and a blue for a 5/5 flying indestructible god. Kefnet can't attack or block unless you have 7 or more cards in hand, which in this deck is going to be easy for us. And then it has 3 and a blue, draw a card, then you may return a land you control to its owner's hand. That's not really going to be, the land return isn't going to matter to us, but the draw card is great for our extra mana, and a 5/5 indestructible flying blocker, as long as we have 7 cards, that's going to be no problem in this deck.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, Kefnet is just such a cool card. Oh, you take this next one. I was very happy to play this one.
Yeah, the next one is Master of Predicaments. 3 double blue for a 4/4 Sphinx with flying. And whenever Master of Predicaments deals combat damage to a player, choose a card in your hand. That player guesses whether the card's CMC is greater than 4. If the player guessed wrong, you may cast that spell without paying its mana cost.
So fun to play. I love it. I just love making people guess things. I love all the Sphinxes. They're so fun. But it's so good. Yeah, if it's... They have to ask, are you going to be trying to get a big banger out with this, like one of those 7 costs, like Chancellor's Spire spells? Or am I trying to Fairy Miscreants for free?
Yeah.
Right? I really, really like it. The ability to possibly get it off twice in a turn is so fun. This one was one of the cards that's designed by a player. It's designed by David Serkin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I quite like the flavor text on this one.
Yeah, I like all of those ones that were just like designed by the player base so that they can do fun things. I think this is balanced, and I think it's super fun to play around with. Like, it's just such a cool card. You don't really see it at many tables, and I love free casts. I love Sphinxes. Like, there's nothing I dislike about this card. I think it's very fairly costed for what it is, and I think its stats are great for it. Like, a 4/4 flyer that may possibly per turn, if I can hit people with it, get free casts. I just love it.
Yeah, and it kind of, like you're saying, it balances out, because it's not like you don't have to guess the exact number.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Is it greater than 4 or not?
Yeah, greater than or less than. Am I going big or am I going small? You choose.
Yeah.
I really like Master of the Winds as well. It's the next card on the list. We've got 2 and a double blue. I like it for the fact that it's a 1/4. It's a great blocker. When it enters, you draw 2 cards and discard. And again, looting in this deck isn't going to matter too much, because I'm going to throw a ton of islands in the grave. Like, there's no way that I'm not going to draw just a bunch of my islands. Like, I'm not drawing all gasoline in this deck, right? Yeah. So the ability to draw 4 and possibly just discard off 2 cards or 2 cards that don't matter as much at 4 mana. Draw 4 for 4 would be a great costed blue spell alone, let alone the 1/4 body and then the 1/1 that comes in with it. Then whenever you cast an instant or sorcery or wizard spell, you can have its base power and toughness become 1-4 or 4-1 until end of turn. So that generally isn't going to matter to us, but we do have a lot of wizards in the deck, like Donald itself is a wizard. So being able to change our 1-1 to a 4-1 actually does matter and is important.
Yeah.
Right? I like the card. I think it's kind of cool, but yeah, it's doing what it needs to be doing, which is going to be drawing us more cards. And speaking of drawing us next cards, please.
This next one is a card that I am very, very fond of. It is Muldrifter. 4 and a blue for a 2/2 elemental with flying. And when Muldrifter enters the battlefield, draw 2 cards. And it's got Evoke. So for 3 and a blue, you may cast a spell for its evoked cost. And if you do, it's sacrificed when it enters the battlefield. So, yeah, still very, very good.
Yeah, well, especially for us, like drawing 4 cards off of a 3 cast with Donald out is, yeah, that's just great. Like,
yeah,
that's
4 cards for 3 mana is brutal.
4 cards for 3 mana would be in every blue deck.
Yeah.
Right? So it really does do a lot for us. Our next one we've got is Network Disruptor. It's a 4-cent card or something like that. It's a Moonfolk Rogue. 1 blue for a 1/1 flying, and when it enters, tap target permanent. There's a lot of things that we want to tap down. People's annoying mana. If they have if they've got something like a Gaia's Cradle and they're trying to pump a bunch of stuff in combat to kill us. For instance, again, everyone, whenever I talk about situations, I just realize my playgroup are animals. But like if they have got a Mystifying Maze or like even just a big blocker that you don't want in the that you don't want around, being able to just tap 2, again, 2/1/1 flyers and 2 taps at 1 mana just is great. Great value for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, like for, well, I don't even think I've registered this card.
Which yet. One? The Disruptor? Or
the Disruptor, yeah. Because,
yeah. Like I said, it does a lot in our deck, and again, it's a very good beat face early card if we have nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely, and it definitely does scale as well, because tapping something's always going to be good.
Yeah, tapping something's always good, but later on, if we can tap 2 things like that, like that can possibly be the, if I'm playing against you and you happen to have some flyers, right, that can be the difference between me getting through with my Master of Predicaments so that I can try cast my cards or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I really, really like the Network Disruptor. I think it's just a cool one drop. The next one as well is really, really good for us overall. It's got Flash, so it's going to trigger the things that we were talking about that care about Flash. It has Flying, it's a 3/1, it's a Bird Wizard, so it'll trigger our Master of the Wind as well if we need to. It's 2 and a blue for a Nimble Obstructionist. 3/1, great stats on it. And then it also has Cycling for 3. When you cycle it, you can counter target activated or triggered ability you don't control. And that is actually such a good ability on a card.
Yeah.
Just the throwing it out and discarding and drawing a card. It's really, really funny to do to people's Thassa's Oracle triggers. They go to draw and the wind trigger goes on the stack and you counter it and they just die. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. I love Nimble Obstructionist. Again, We've put some of our ability to counter. We have no instants and sorceries in the deck, really, but we kind of do. They're kind of there.
Oh, yeah.
And with our ability, again, to blink it, there's a lot of annoying stuff that we can do with a card like this. It's really, really fun to wreck people's Planeswalker ultimates. Like, I can't say enough good things about this card. Most people aren't countering activated or triggered abilities.
No, and they should be.
Yeah.
A lot of these times.
Yeah, I don't know. If you start including Nimble Obstructionist, you'll start to realize how many good situations there are for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go with the next one, please.
Yeah, next one is a 0-cost artifact creature Thopter, 0/2. Ornithopter. It's got flying.
I like it.
Yeah.
Early blocker, that's awesome. Late game, it's 0 mana, doesn't cost you anything to throw in. And yeah, like I said, it's a great early blocker. You don't care. It costs you nothing. It's really funny to see people like equip these up with swords and just beat face with an Ornithopter, but but that's okay. The next one we have is Ornithopter of Paradise. It's not quite 0. It's 2 mana for a 0/2 flyer, and it adds 1 mana of any color. Again, early game for us, we're in blue. We ramp where we can ramp.
Yeah,
but late game as well, getting 2 0/2 flyers and the ability to tap for two mana is going to be great value for us as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also another great card to tempt with Reflections, because in a best case, you just get another one, and in a worst case, if you're at a table with other players, you've gone off early hard, everyone takes one, you're left with four. Most people shouldn't take the tempting offers, but I'm pretty good at politicking my way into getting them and just being like, listen, I already have the mana. I'm helping you guys out. Like, you gotta sell everything as group hug. Like, yeah. like the next card. Please take my next group hug card.
This is one of my favorite group hug cards, actually. It's Palancron. 4/5 for 5 and double blue. Illusion with flying. And when it comes into play, untap up to 7 lands. And you can tap 2 in double blue to return it to its owner's hand.
Yeah, you can get a lot of mana going with that one.
Yeah.
Get 14 available mana at a 7 cost.
Yeah.
This is one reason that is good, that Donal only triggers once per turn.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find ways to, again, if you had a Cloudstone Curio, you could blink Donal back and forth with it and then just go infinite Palancron, Donal, Palancron, Donal, Palancron, Donal, because every time you cast it, you'd need 11 in total, and then you'd go, you're untapping 14. So you would go infinite with it, with a Cloudstone Curio out, and then if you put anything that did matter, like a Fascination, everyone mills their deck, Blue Sun, Zenith the Table kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can be a degenerate, but like we don't need to. It's already doing more than enough. It's a 4/5 flying illusion. Again, it's gonna net us 14 available mana if we get it out. And that's gonna be big. That's big in any deck, right? So I tried to keep this deck like as fair as possible, because I knew from when I saw it spoiled, I was like, okay, well, I'm putting a Palancron in this deck. And then I built it kind of backwards from there. I was like, all right, I know Palancron's going in it. Do I want to be annoying and like have like a Palancron infinite bounce thing? Because that's usually what I do with Palancron, like in Animar and stuff like that. Like that's what Palancron's for.
Yeah.
Right. And same thing with the next card, like next card, not quite as much, but because you can't pay to return it, but it's, yeah, like I said, I try to keep this fair. You're already going to be hurting people with this deck with the beaten face with flyers. So like be responsible with your flyers, you know?
Yeah.
Before I go into the next one as well, you do need to know what your threats are in a deck like this, because there's no other real win cons. Like, we have a Temsis, but a Temsis has to kill things. So if you're playing against somebody who, like Pillow Forts traditionally, right? You're not getting through a Pillow Fort in this deck. I don't like Cyclonic Rift, and I don't run Cyclonic Rift out of pure spite for the card, right? So you're kind of limited in your options of what you can do, and a lot of other board wipes are like on parity, right? So like in blue, like I can bounce everything with a Whelming Wave, for instance, but then I lose all my creatures too.
Yeah.
So you do really have to know, first off, you're going to draw aggro because you're going to be swinging so aggressively at people, but to win a game, like you have to kill the player who's the threat to you and stuff, right? Even if it's not fun, even if they like think it's kind of annoying and stuff, like just explain it. Be like, you're the only deck that I think that can stop me, and that's why I've got to stop you before you get to it. Because again, without a Temsis, if I'm playing against a life gain deck, I'm not getting through life gain with my mono blue flying deck, right? I've seen so many life gain decks hit 4,000, 5,000 life. I'm not beating them down.
No, not a chance.
Yeah, and all of the, especially like in a white and black decks, like anyone who can wrath the board the later the game gets, they've got to go, right? Because like, again, we're in mono blue, right? We're not in green. I don't have a Gaia's Cradle and 90 mana available. Like, I'm in blue playing one land a turn. Like, we're well aware of what my power level in this deck is. Mm-hmm. So like the more board, like if you have a player who board wipes in decks, you got to aggro kill them. You got to just, sorry, rest in peace, my old friend, but you got to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, that's the threat assessment hour with me. Back to the deck. We've got Peregrine Drake. It's a 2/3 flying Drake for 5 mana, 4 and a blue. When it enters, you untap up to 5 lands. It's pretty breakable, but we don't have anything to break it. It's a simple, give me 10 mana for 5.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I really like the ability to use these like lower cards, like a Cloud of Fairies, a Peregrine Drake, to get to my bigger cards, like my Chancellor of the Spire, stuff like that. Just being able to ramp some of those out is kind of fun that way. We've got a little bit of early game ramp as well, right in this Pilgrim's Eye. Three mana for a 1/1 flying Thopter. When it enters, you can search your library for basic, reveal it, and put it into your hand, then shuffle. That's going to be good early and late game as well. Grabbing two lands at three mana and two 1/1 flyers. Again, great. Great value. Donald really lets us value a bunch of cards that are mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really like that. The next one, not mediocre. You could take this one.
No. This next one is Platinum Angel. 7-costed 4/4 artifact creature angel with flying. You can't lose the game, and your opponents can't win the game.
Usually annoying to try and get rid of one, but two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the ability to, like, possibly bounce it back and save it, like, if I have, like, my Erratic Portal or something like that. Pay one mana, I bring it back to my hand. You still have to deal with my annoying 1/1 version, and I still have this one in hand. Like, it does some pretty good work for us.
Yeah, and then next turn when you cast it again.
Yeah, exactly. Have an army of 1/1 Platinum Angels. We have another Sphinx in the deck. We've got Riddlemaster. So it's 4 BB for a 5/5 with flying. When it enters, you may return target creature and opponent controls to its owner's hand. So again, you're going to get 6 power on the board because the second one's a 1/1. 6 power, 2 creatures, both flying, and a double bounce at 6 mana. Awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Again, there's some things. This is a good one too. I'll let you take this one. This is obnoxious in this deck.
Yeah, the next one is Royal Elemental, 3 BB for a 3/2 elemental with flying, and it's got landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may gain control of target creature for as long as you control Royal Elemental. That's gaining control of two creatures a turn.
Yeah, per landfall is rough.
I'm getting it. This is really group hug. You're playing the opponent's creatures for them so they can have an easier time.
I made again, I keep going off topic today. But I just took a bunch of decks apart for the first time, like pretty much ever. I took so far like 40-ish decks apart, and it's given me just a monster toolbox to build from. I already had a ton to build from, so I was able to build a bunch of things that are kind of a little more meta specific, kind of a little more updated. Like I took some older decks that just didn't function well. I took three categories of decks apart. Ones that function too well, like Zaxara. Zaxara just does too much. I've never had it not do what it needs to do. It's too consistent. So I took that apart. Then some decks I built with an idea, like what's the toad? Tatsunari. I built Tatsunari. I played probably 13 games with Tatsunari, and it sucked. My build of it wasn't good. It didn't play well. It just didn't do what I wanted it to do. So I took a bunch of those decks apart, and then I just had some older decks that hadn't been updated in years and stuff, right? Like, for example, like a Gisela Blade of Gold Knight Boros Angels deck, right? That's going to be okay at like a casual-ish, really low power table, but just with what we have access to now, the ability to, like for it to work and function, I had so many high value cards, like the Medallions. I had a bunch of like Mana Crypts, Mana Vaults, just to try and make it function, and they're just better suited elsewhere, right? Leaving them in a Boros Angels deck just wasn't really good. So the whole point of this rant is one of the things I took apart was Savine. Savine is another deck that I just couldn't get to function the way I wanted it to function. It just always seemed to underperform. And it was still pretty similar to what it was, and I took Pramacon out of that deck, and I made a Pramacon half group hug, half group hate deck that I've called Just the Right Amount of Fun. And it's all about like equalizing the table in like things that give everyone else lands or things that like tap everything down. Like I think it's so funny to play. It's so annoying. Yeah. But I played it last night, and I ended up being able to get Eon Frolicker out against a Time Sifter deck. And so I didn't get a turn for like 14 turns in a row, and the dominant player I had protection from for like 14 turns, they ended up killing everyone with just overall damage value, and then they just had to keep drawing, and eventually drew themselves out. It was actually a really, really fun interaction. But the point of that is I build things that are group hug and not group hug, and Royal Elemental is not very group huggy.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's first off, I think it's really interesting that this is a flying card. I don't think that it on theme really should be, but
no.
Yeah, but it really is, like, back to what we were saying, Royal Elemental's good in any deck you put it in that has it, any ability to get landfall, like an Omnoth deck or something like that is really going to benefit from Royal Elemental. We're not doing crazy land recursion, but with what we are doing, like you had mentioned, the ability to take two creatures per landfall is bad. It's bad news for the table.
Yeah.
I'll let you go with the next. You go with the next two.
Yeah, sure. So the next one is Shacklegeist. One in a blue for a creature spirit, 2/2 with flying. Shacklegeist can block only creatures with flying, and you can tap two untapped spirits you control that tap target creature you don't control.
Definitely works good for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because you can just tap both copies of Shacklegeist in a pinch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the next one is Sharding Sphinx, 4 double blue for a 4/4 artifact creature Sphinx with flying. And whenever an artifact creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may create a 1/1 blue Thopter artifact creature token with flying.
I like this card. I like all the Sphinxes, like I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is another really cool one to be able to double up. Again, early, good for us. Late, still good for us, too. It's Siren Storm Tamer. 1 for a 1/1 Siren Pirate Wizard Flyer. Pay 1, sack it, counter target spell or ability that targets you or a creature you control.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. Yeah, I think it gives us good value. We've also got Sky Scanner, another Thopter. 3 mana for a 1/1 flying. When it enters, draw a card. So again, we're getting 2 flying bodies to block with, 2 1/1s, draw 2 cards at 3 mana late game. It's pretty good. Like I said, we draw a lot in this deck.
Yeah.
We also have Soaring Showoff. 2 and a blue for a flying bird wizard. When it enters, each player draws a card. Real group hug. I do like it. So again, at 3 mana, we're drawing the table 2 cards. We're drawing 2 cards. I think it's good. I think it buys a little goodwill at the table.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you need that little bit of goodwill because of how you're being annoying. Like, I'll let you take the next few. Take the next 3. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. So the next one is Spark Double, a 0/0 illusion. And you may have Spark Double enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature or planeswalker you control. Except it enters with an additional +1/+1 counter on it if it's a creature, and it enters with an additional loyalty counter on it if it's a planeswalker, and it isn't legendary if that permanent is legendary.
So, man, this
I
is the
what you're copying with this one.
Yeah, this is the best thing to hit with Tempt with Reflections so that you can make more Donalds and just have your army. Because I should have put a Sakashima in this deck. I should have put a Helm of the Host in the deck with how well Donald functions, but I didn't because I was trying to be reasonable with it. But I couldn't avoid putting Spark Double in the deck because at 4 mana, this should just be called Donald 2. I should just put in a second Donald in the deck.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that this is targeting in the deck for me. It's, you can't say enough good things about Spark Double. It's so good.
No, it's such a good card.
Yeah, and again, I'll let you take the next one too.
Yeah. Next one is Spellstutter Sprite, 1 in a blue for a fairy wizard with flash flying. It's a 1/1. And when Spellstutter Sprite enters the battlefield, counter target spell with converted mana cost X or less, where X is the number of fairies you control.
We have a lot of fairies in the deck, but even at the getting rid of like a 2 mana thing alone is already pretty good, and Spellstutter Sprite is going to give us just the 2 already.
Yeah.
And I really like the card, but late game, it does have a ton of potential to counter big spells.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly used to get rid of Path to Exiles for me.
Well, yeah, Path, Swords.
Yeah, exactly. Your normal removal. We have Sphinx of Dwar Isle, 4 double blue for a 5/5 flyer with Shroud, and you can look at the top card of your library.
Nice.
Just a generically good beater.
Yeah.
I also like this next one. Its art is silly. It's Sphinx of Lost Truths. 3 and 2 blue for a 3/5 flyer. It has kicker of 1 and a blue. When it enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards. Then if it wasn't kicked, discard 3. So, again, if we've got lots of islands we want to pitch out because we can only play one land a turn, we're easy to do it. And if not, then we just pay our extra 2 and get the draw. But late game, a draw 6 as well is pretty good.
I don't think you could ever complain about drawing 6 cards unless you're that would draw you out. But
yeah, I probably should put a Lab Maniac or a Lab Jace in this deck, with how much I do draw, but that's okay. Generally, people are dead by the time it gets to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've got Sphinx of Magosi as well, 3 and triple blue for a 6/6 Sphinx flyer, and then pay 2 and a blue, draw a card, put a 1/1 counter on Sphinx. You can buff your 1-1 up as well, but again, just the ability to have a mana sink draw another 6/6 flyer that's going to bring in another 1/1 flyer with it. It's going to give you good value.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can take this one.
Yeah. So this next one is Sphinx of Uthun, a 5/6 Sphinx with flying for 5 double blue. When Sphinx of Uthun enters the battlefield, reveal the top 5 cards of your library. An opponent separates those cards into 2 piles. Put one pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard.
Yeah, getting that twice off is pretty cool. The Factor Fiction twice.
Yeah, and yeah, that's a lot of value.
Yeah, like I said, I like all these cards are good on their own. Some are kind of mediocre on their own, but then like when you get the doubled up ability, I think it's really, really a really, really good thing. We've got Spiketail Hatchling as our next one. It's 1 and a blue for a 1/1 flying drake. When it enters, you can sack it, counter target spell unless the controller pays one. Again, a great like taxable ability to sit on the board where people have to think twice about actually tapping out. I have a lot of fun playing this deck. It plays very different than most blue decks play, and it's just a real treat. You have Steel Hellkite as well, which can it's kind of a way to clear the board finally.
Yeah,
it's a 6-mana dragon for it's a artifact dragon 5/5. You can pay 2 to give it +1/+0 till end of turn, which is not bad. But its real ability lies in the X. Destroy each non-land permanent with mana value X whose controller was dealt combat damage by Steel Hellkite this turn. Activate only once each turn. So we're not hit by it or suffering by it. Using this to even just pay 0 and destroy like everyone's army of tokens if we can fly over it is great.
Yeah. This card I played this one against a mono green token deck.
Well, this and card hits elves like a truck too.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's a real menace. And like I said, not many things actually block flying. Like flying is strong, but it's not like the main archetype in a lot of decks, right? That's why I like this like mono blue aggro strategy, because our commander aside, we have basically unblockable creatures that are just going to beat face.
Yeah.
Supreme Phantom is the next one. It's 1 and a blue for a flying spirit. Other spirits you control get +1/+1, and it's a 1/3. That's another really good card to be able to get a double of, because it's going to buff each other. The 1/1 is actually a 2/2. This one's a 2/4. Like, yeah, I think it's got good stats. We've got lots of spirits in the deck. You want to take this one?
Yeah, this next one is Taisbo Tyrant, a 5/5 Jin with flying for 5 and triple blue. Whenever you cast a spell, return target permanent to its owner's hand. Doing that twice is mean.
Well, it's silly. And again, it's good for us. And you can kind of politics it that way of like, nah, listen, I'm going to mostly be... Because you got to say mostly. You shouldn't break your own deals. I'm going to mostly be hitting my things with this. And if there's a threat on the board, then we can do that. This is another way of dealing with potential lockouts of like a Pillow Fort deck. But there's just so many things that... like if you get the Sterling Grove and Greater Oromancy kind of a lock going down, you're not gonna be able to do much with it, but you can hit people's lands, and I think that's funny.
Yeah.
Am I a bad person? Sure. Do I think that with my Portal Sanctuary, Crystal Shard, and Erratic Portal, that I would bounce my Ornithopter 3 times and do it? Sure. Sure, I would do it and return 6 lands. But that's neither here nor there. Tidesbow Tyrant is fun. We have a Tome Raider as well. It's 2 and a blue for a 1/1 fairy flyer. When it enters, draw a card. Again, you guys get it. There's a lot of draw in it.
Yeah.
A really, really good card, especially if we can get this one doubled up. Warden of Evos Isle. 2 and a blue for a 2/2 flying bird wizard. Creature spells with flying you cast are 1 less to cast.
I love this card.
Yeah, that card doubled up is a world of difference because... As you may have noticed, every card except for Donald II is flying in this deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a tribe going.
Yeah, that makes your Ornithopter of Paradise cost 0 as well.
Yeah, really, really good. The next one as well, too, is... I'll let you take this next one. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, this next one is Warkite Marauder, a 2/1 human pirate for 1 and a blue. It's got flying. And whenever Warkite Marauder attacks, target creature defending player controls loses all abilities and has base power and toughness 0/1 till end of turn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. This is my anti-Avacyn card because I have a lot of players who get Avacyn out pretty good early.
Yeah.
and this is my way to cut that nonsense out. Donald has some Avacyn worship in the card, and I'm not into it. We worship Avacyn from afar.
Yeah, exactly.
And then our last one of the deck is Windreader Sphinx. Any deck that's flying is going to run this deck. 5 double blue for a 3/7 Sphinx. Again, a huge body on it. And whenever a creature with flying attacks, you may draw a card. And the you may is very important because having to draw two cards per attack would be lunacy. We would kill ourselves, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like this is, like I said, this is my deck. I think that it's a pretty silly overall deck. Like you don't need it to be. It's very, very budget if you just don't put in Palancron and Gilded Drake.
Yeah.
Like, the commander's $1.29, the instants are 74 cents. Reliquary Tower's what, $4? Our sorcery, $2. Yeah. Our creature section says $531, but where's Gilded Drake? Gilded Drake is 300 of that, and then Palancron alone is another 70.
Yeah, so if you take out the Palancron and the Gilded Drake, the really the only really expensive card in this deck is Consecrated Sphinx.
Oh yeah, and that's the other thing is Consecrated Sphinx. Yeah, if you take those ones out, and Consecrated Sphinx is a great card too, but you can basically like this is on the Archideck list that we're sending. It's 621. The list will also be in the show notes. It's $621, and you can shave off like 450 of those dollars immediately with like four cards. Yeah. Find some other flyers, like a Thopter. What's the Thopter that enters, and then if you control no other Thopters, you bounce it? Something like that.
Yeah.
There's other flyers. You could put other things in it. But yeah, no, like... Oh, go ahead.
Even if you don't want to cut the cards out, Abyss Proxy Shop.
Yeah, Abyss Proxy Shop, if you do want to play it, it's... Like I said, this...
For a couple bucks.
This deck is really fun. It's going to play very different than a normal mono blue deck. And what's really, really fun is you're going to be able to bluff people so much because everyone expects you to be a monster when you're playing mono blue. Everyone is expecting you to be holding up the counterspell mana, and you've got, I've got my Cyclonic Rift and stuff. It's really, really fun to be able to bluff the table out with something like that. And if you have like your Djinn of Wishes where you can just do the end step mana sink, it's really fun to hold up like 8 mana and just like make everyone think you're about to Cyclonic Rift and then not do it.
Yeah,
it's like I said, it's got built-in win con with the Atemsis. It's got just a ton of draw. Like I had such a blast playing this. It plays so different than any blue deck I've played before. Like just creature based blue deck. There's a few things that you could put in to increase the amount of things you're going to bring down. Like you could include more rocks if you wanted this to go faster. A Cloud Key if you wanted to like bring your cost down, or a Semblance Anvil, because being able to exile and have two or three less would be good in the deck. But like I said, I think it functions really, really well. I think it curves out pretty well from what I've played.
Mm-hmm.
Your average mana cost is 3.7, which is not hard to get to in this deck. Like you're going to, once you're at 3 mana, you're okay.
Yeah.
I would say the majority of the deck is, 14 at 3, 13 at 2, 6 at 1, 1 at 0, and then you've got, you have 11 at 5, 7 at 6, is that 9? No, 9 at 6, sorry. Yeah, 7 at 5, 9 at 6, 5 at 7, and 1 at 8. Like, it curves out pretty well and stuff. As long as you get some lands early game, you're going to be okay to get some stuff in. There's a lot of ability to draw in the deck. An early Aether Vial really, really does work.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, no, like I said, I could rant about this deck all day. I thought it was just super fun to play. Like, it was super fun to play, super fun to brew. It's pretty accessible, and it'll change your wheelhouse if you're used to playing, like, blue counterspell decks. It's fun to sit down and be like, no, this is just a blue beat face deck.
Yeah, it's definitely something you don't see very often.
Yeah, what did you think of this one? Is this something you'd run, or how would you deal with something like this where they're just trying to beat you down with flyers?
I really like this deck. If I like to play Archetype of Imagination.
Yeah.
And I feel like other than that, there's not really much. Like we were saying, a lot of players don't plan for facing 50 plus creatures with flying.
Yeah.
An
Archetype of Imagination would wreck this deck, or like a Gravity Well where creatures lose flying.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, and then other than that, like, one thing I might add, like, we mentioned it, is a Rogue's Passage.
There's a few things that really are nice to get through, like your Steel Hellkite, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And it costs nothing to put in the deck. Like, what's Rogue's Passage? 40 cents?
Yeah, something like that. And we've all got tons of them sitting around.
Yeah, somewhere. Exactly. So, like I said, it's just, it's a really fun deck. I think you'll have fun playing it if you try it. I had a ton of fun playing it and building it. It's really, really easy to pilot. Like, this is, I was saying at the beginning of the episode before we started recording, this is a turn your brain off blue deck. Like, this is just beat face with flyers.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man. I hit people with flyers.
Yeah, you know what you like.
Yeah, exactly. Again, the only thing is, you are going to upset people because you only have damage to kill people unless you have a Tempsis. So you've got to just beat face. And for some people, especially if they think they're having a rough start or whatever, it sucks to suck, but you gotta just beat face and kill players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with that, I will wrap it up. You can find all of our stuff. One sec. Where's my music? There we go. You can find all of our stuff at intothe99.com. Make sure that you follow Zach, Slothy, myself on Instagram. The Into the 99 page, we post a lot on there as well. We're going to be doing some stream games as well pretty soon, so if you are interested in playing a few games with us, let us know. We'd love to have some of the listeners come on and play against us, and you can finally see how Zach does reanimate in every deck, how, like, I just nonstop will call things group hug and not be group hug and threaten the table. It's a real fun experience. Other than that, just thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Again, if you need some proxies, check out Abyss Proxy Shop. Get all the things you need to make a deck function, then get to your LGS and spend money on the rest of the cards so that the community keeps growing, people play more games, and you have more fun. Proxy responsibly. Don't wreck the game for people by overpowering it. But again, it would be, owning the card doesn't change you overpowering the table. Just play to have fun. And have a great week. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.